Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I know I didn't get a chance to finish on delving into the problem and how we need to work together in really resolving the problem in having success. It's all about becoming successful. What we're trying to do, and the only way we can do this is if we unite. And as I was getting into the problem of divisiveness, as well as leadership, we will get back into that so we can close that from last week. More importantly, I want to get into some other things before we get into that. Just, you know, some of those news items, because, you know, when marketing presents itself, you kind of need to take advantage. And so I think it's really important to kind of show you why we don't have a lot of time. But let me also tell you that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. As you know, this show is the only show that is going to go into the details of what it takes to get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution so we can start restoring our liberty and restoring this great republic the way it was intended to be. Now, I will also tell you that we have a listen line. If you want to kind of listen in while you're traveling or you're out and about and you cannot stream this entire show, then just dial 605-562-4209. So before, like I said, before we really start diving into the problem, I want to get into, let's just say, some of the news that kind of has crept up through the weekend and so forth. But before I do, you know, it's not a show until I cover some of these things in the very beginning. We need your help. We need support. We need you to get involved. If you have not been convinced that we are really heading off that precipice, then what's it going to take? If you can't tell just how idiotic things are getting and how far the left is pushing us, we're being set up. So we need your help, and there's different ways you can help. And one of the ways you can help is getting your Red State Coffee on. I would highly recommend you look and go buy a set of Red State Coffee, just 1 pound, and then tell me what you think, 425-270-5416. That is the number. You can just leave a message. It's the Mobius Strip Press number. And I would just ask you to, you know, give us your 15-second comment or, you know, 20 seconds or less. Something like, just be concise. Just tell us what you think. You can compare it to the other coffees you drink. But let us know, because we want you, because we're confident that you're going to be pretty impressed with this coffee. And we want you to be able to have an opportunity to help market this. I will also say that we've got this crowdfunding on GoFundMe, as you know, but we really need personal support. And what that means is we need you to be able to spend a little bit of time, you know, in putting, collating some information, putting data together so that we can get that into spreadsheets, so that we can start contacting leaders and other people. That way we can get other people to start working with you in your state and county. And we'll help you. We'll walk you through this. We want you to become the advocate in leading and uniting people. If you understand what leaders do, like I said last week, leaders unite people to solve problems. What they're not trying to do is they're not just trying to self-promote themselves. And so if you want to just self-promote yourself, by all means, go knock yourself out. But if you want to actually be a part of the solution, then we need leaders, and we need leaders to unite. Now, I will say this, I kind of teased this about 2 months ago, or not 2 months, about 2 weeks ago, that there's a I've been engaged with a, I believe it's a listener, sent me a letter regarding Islam and so forth. And we'll get into that a little bit later on in the week, maybe. But before we do, like I said, I want to kind of cover what we were covering last week to close that book, get into some marketing and so forth. Constitution Day's coming up. It's about 3 months away. So are you doing anything? Are you helping? And I'm hoping that you can find a little bit of time to actually try to get people to start becoming aware of Constitution Day, the Constitution, reading it, and familiarizing themselves. Because I'm telling you, I believe that the University of Wisconsin, when they started going through the ratification debates and they were making this big herald to the world that they were doing this, the DHRC was stood up. DHRC stands for the Documentation History of the Ratification of the Constitution. It is probably the one of the most precious documents that we have next to our Constitution in the Declaration of Independence. And why? Because it supports and it defines and it clarifies precisely what every line means of the Constitution practically. It clarifies it enough so that we can clearly assert that the federal government has no authority. Everything has been, they've built a house of cards by hoodwinking, bamboozling, lying, deceit, and all sorts of other things, working and colluding with a lot of bad players throughout the course of history in this country. And that's why we have a government that's capable of doing everything outside the Constitution, because we've been told and convinced that they can do this. So, as I always do, I scan the news, and there is no sign that the federal government is going to disband any of their tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and power. So, what does that mean? What that means, my friends, is that they are going to continue to ramp up. They're going to continue to usurp power until they throw us off the edge. And when they do, it's over. And anybody that's a prepper, anybody that's a 3%er, a militia person, or what have you, I know that you're prepared to die for your country. I'm with you. I'm not going to surrender. I'm not. I will not let that happen. But I'm telling you that there's nothing we really can do, bar I truly believe the miracle of the good Lord Himself. Because that's what it'll take. But we don't have to rely on a miracle at this point. And that's why I'm keeping on. I'm here to tell you, are you going to commit? Are you going to do something? Anyway, let me kind of dive forward into what I really, want to kind of highlight, because some of the things that's happened this weekend, I think are worth noting. Now, Oso the communist is always in the news. And they're always looking at her from one direction to the next. And Oso the communist has made a comment, and she speaks of the re-election of Trump. And Trump tweets back, "That's true. But I'm here to tell you, that's not the real story." The real story is that she is using this argument to work on reversing the Hyde Amendment. So most people probably already know what the Hyde Amendment is, but I will just kind of give you a real high-level version. The Hyde Amendment is an amendment that has made it impossible, or supposedly made it impossible, for the federal government to use tax dollars for funding abortions. Now, they're doing it already. They're doing it in other ways. Because as Planned Parenthood is able to take in money for women's health and so forth, they can skim off the top so that they can continue to do abortions and so forth. No money should be going to Planned Parenthood, period. And as a matter of fact, it's not about whether it's because they're, such an evil organization. Yeah, they are, but that's not the reason why no money should go there. The federal government has no authority to fund anything like that. It's not an enumerated power. And so if you get it, then you can always continue to use the exact same argument with every argument out there. We'll kind of review that again when we get into what I was talking about as far as fixing the problems, identifying the threats, and what we need to do to move forward. Because I'll give you a quick review of that when we get to that. But if you look at the macro view, there is a diametrically opposing concepts here. If you understand what the Democrats are doing, right? The Democrats are actually pushing and passing infanticide. You know, what the heck's going on in Virginia? That was a red state. And are you kidding me? Why is it that they're just sitting there going, we're going to allow infanticide? New York is the same way. And there are other states that are equally pushing infanticide. So what's really going on? She's pushing for the reversal of the Hyde Amendment so that they can start, you know, using federal dollars to support the abortions, because they're seeing other states starting to pull out. They're seeing other states that are going to be pulling their funding away from Planned Parenthood. So it seems like this is a huge positioning war. But what about the Supreme Court? What happens when the Supreme Court kind of steps in? I want you to think about that. Let's say the Supreme Court really steps into this issue. So you think about that. We're going to go into a hard break. And when we come back, I'll give you my perspective on what's going to end up happening. And I'm telling you, well, I'm not going to wait. You'll have to wait. I will tell you when we get back. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so, let's say SCOTUS decides to step in. Let's say the Supreme Court says, we're going to reach in and we're going to make another ruling regarding abortion. And let's say this time they actually support and allow states to place some bans on types of abortions. Does that mean that they're not going to They're well, what I'm trying to say is, so some states can plan, you know, can stop or ban, not plan, but ban abortions of infanticide and some of those type of heartbeat bills and that type of stuff. But that doesn't necessarily mean that states that are passing infanticide can't do that. In other words, they're kind of pointing to the fact that they're going to let the states kind of make their own decisions to some extent. And this, my friends, is a Pyrrhic victory. Why? Why is this a victory that is so devastating that we lose complete context? Because the Supreme Court has no jurisdiction. It comes down to this. When the Supreme Court basically starts telling us that we're going to allow you to have some state autonomy, then it means that we have been subjugated to the Supreme Court, and we're continuing to allow them to, you know, throw us to and fro based on their whims and desires. And I'm here to tell you that that is wrong. It's unconstitutional. There is no jurisdiction. There is no enumerated power within the Constitution that grants the federal government the role, responsibility, or power for abortion. This has been a complete usurpation. The court has completely violated the Constitution in pulling this up and making a ruling. They fell under this facade of a right of privacy. Show me in the Constitution. Now, you got to remember, the Bill of Rights are nugatories. So the question was the federal government involved in passing laws and denying people privacy or anything that would be violating the Bill of Rights? No. So the whole Roe v. Wade case was not anything to do with the federal government and the federal government law that was denying something that was protected by the Bill of Rights. In other words, they didn't have a law, nor did they have a state law that was going after this. There was just basically... There's nothing in the Constitution really over privacy anyway. But the whole point of the matter is they have no jurisdiction, because if it wasn't a federal law, then it's a state law. And if it's a state law, then it stays in the state court. The only reason they pulled it up, because they wanted to use Blackmun, who was appointed by Nixon. Nixon was an evil guy. He appointed progressives to the bench that seemed like, one would think, wink, 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 that they were conservatives. But they weren't. Blackmun actually ruled, and he threw it, he basically helped unconstitutionally legalize abortion. The federal government has no authority in this. This is a state issue. If a state wants to legalize abortion, it's up to them and their constituents, the people, and so forth. So if you understand what's happening here, this is really, I think we're being set up to make people think, oh, well, the Supreme Court is allowing us to have some state rights, and that's a good thing. No, it's not. The states have to demand their state rights and tell the Supreme Court they have no business dictating anything if it's not within the enumerated powers. It's that simple, folks. And so, these are dangerous times, because conservatives are actually thinking this might be a good thing. We might actually get the Supreme Court to rule for us. No, we do not want them to subjugate us over our own things that are our own sovereignties. The state has full sovereignty over things not enumerated. If it's not delegated to them, they can't mess with it. So if you start looking at some of the news, if you look at the macro, you'll actually start seeing that what's going on is a constant, you know, there's the war that we're fighting is a facade. And I was trying to explain this to somebody on social media this past weekend. They were engaged in fighting the LGBT, let a drag queen read to your kiddies at the public library. And as reprehensible and repugnant as that is, there's a lot of people that are out there fighting this. Okay, yeah, you got to protect your kids and you got to do things. But if you look at all the things that we're fighting, whether it be abortion, whether it be the LGBT, homosexual marriage, Obamacare, or what have you. If you look at all the things we're fighting, what you're doing is you're rolling around and you're wrestling with the pig. And I'm telling you that you're going to get nasty and dirty because you're out there in the pigsty, and the pig's going to love it. The pig loves the fact that you're out there spending time and giving them attention. I'm here to tell you, if you want to win the war, it has nothing to do with the fight that they're doing to try to stop them. The argument has to be across the board. You have no constitutional authority to ram this down our throats. We have every right to have decency laws. We have every right to have laws that actually dictate. I mean, can you have a law that actually says you can't sell alcohol, blue laws, on Sunday? Yes. The Supreme Court has no jurisdiction over that. That's a state issue. So you can have these laws. You can have blue laws in protecting decency and so forth. In other words, you can't have a conversation regarding the LGBT agenda in a public forum as long as there's anybody that is considered a prepubescent or a minor. How about that? And start removing these conversations that are inappropriate in the company of a minor. We shouldn't do it. I mean, why don't we just let them start drinking from a keg? That's aiding and abetting a minor, contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Letting kids engage in adult behavior, such as sexual activities and so forth, this is the path we're going down. And it's all unconstitutional. The court is saying, yeah, we can do this. And the progressives have been feeding us this line of bull all this time. And the Supreme Court literally said, you can't write laws that are considered obscene because it violates the First Amendment. Well, I'm here to tell you that states can actually have decency laws. It's just like you can have a law that says you can't yell fire in a theater. You can have laws that help for the public safety and for the public good. And pornography is not for the public good. It is not about expression. It is about obscenity. And when, like my conversation with Dr. Weil, and Judge White that made the ruling, I know obscenity when I see it. I'm here to tell you, it's not for a oracle to decide what's obscene or not. It is for we the people to decide what's best for our communities. And the state has no business dictating and ramrodding any type of progressive agendas down into any type of communities, counties, or what have you. We need to get back to Republican form of government. It's very, you know, what's really funny is I see some people arguing against the indecency of teaching and showing kids this type of stuff. But then on the other side, they're completely adamant that they don't want any religious conversations whatsoever or religion involved in anything. And I'm going, we can't have it both ways. You have to have, and you have to start actually restoring, I'll just say, that handrail of morality. We have been so damaged as a society because we've allowed the progressives to debase our society and to start driving this evil agenda through right down the middle of the highway here. Another thing that if you want to look at it, if you can take a glance at the news and when you look at things, there's all sorts of things out there that actually support my assertion that division in the conservative ranks is one of our greatest problems. I'll give you a good example. Governor Abbott approves budget for a public campaign for gun storage. Well, is he a conservative? Because most people believe, because it's an open-ended funding, like $250,000, that may be used as an anti-gun, and the NRA is fighting them. Well, hold it. Now, Governor Abbott's supposedly this big conservative, or better yet, the NRA is supposed to be this real conservative organization. And then you can find outliers where they both kind of lean to the left. And that makes you scratch your head and go, what the heck's going on? who's on what side. And when we start looking, the whole point is just to make sure that somebody is keeping people on the straight path of the status quo. Trump. Here's another one. Trump is looking to roll out a new health care plan. Is that what Republican form of government is all about? Letting government dictate what you can have for your health care, what you can't have? Are we going to allow a Republican? This is the power play, just like what Clinton's did in passing NAFTA and moving the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 forward so it could actually be rammed down our throats. And that's because the Democrats are doing it, and so it's okay with this global movement and this movement towards this global governance. When we come back, I'm going to jump into where I left off last Friday so that we can get into the problems and the threats. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So first off, let's really clarify what the threats are that we are facing in our constitutional republic. Now, there's all of these things that I talk about, abortion, immigration, the HUD, FBI, geoengineering, or the standing armies that the BLM, energy, EPA, even the FBI, and so forth are levying tyranny upon us. Is it about health freedom? Is it about state welfare, or I should say corporate welfare, or individual welfare? Or is it about unconstitutional treaties or refugees or the Second Amendment? There's a plethora of different topics. And to me, if you understand a three-dimensional, you know, in other words, horizontal and vertical warfare, like you're flying in a plane, you can go up, down, you got bogeys all around you. The real problem is that all of these bogeys that we're dealing with, all of these battlefronts, all of these positions that we're fighting, they're all unconstitutional. In other words, it's like we're fighting a computer game, and if you really want to win the war, you have to turn off the computer. That's how you win. And so what we have to do, because all of it is a facade. And yeah, they're shooting real guns at you and they can kill you. So you have to understand that, you know, like the old Covey quadrants, you got to make sure you drain the swamp, but you have to make sure you also fight off the alligators because they're real threats. So if you got gunfire coming at you, then you need to defend yourself, you need to run for cover and what have you. But the only way we can drain the swamp is by turning off the computer, or at least taking the position that all of this is unconstitutional. And the way we turn off the computer is getting the states to take a stand and assert their authority and say, that is unconstitutional. You cannot do that. Where did we get this? So when we have one state, and some people call this nullification, and nullification just says we're going to disavow, we're calling this null and void, and we're not going to enforce that law. But that will not work in this particular case. It's not like it's a law. They are taking money and giving it to corporations. They're pressing money in the Fed and pumping it into monetary easing in the stock market. They're doing all sorts of things that will destroy us, and just nullification. And that's why I say nullification is a fly swatter in trying to kill an elephant with that. You have to use an elephant gun. And not that I'm advocating killing elephants, but I'm just trying to show you that you have to use the right amount of force to stop that threat. And the real threat, as I said, is non-compliance to the Constitution. It's not these issues. It's not these bogeys flying around us. The reality is that those bogeys are existing because of non-compliance to the Constitution. So I'm going to just kind of jump forward to back where I was, and I'll start with leadership again, because we talked about this really quickly, and I want to build on this. Leaders build upon core principles to unite others in solving problems. And when I say uniting others, that means everybody, the community, the nation, the state, the county, whatever level you're going to be a leader in, you need to actually build upon core principles. What are those core principles? Everybody recognizes liberty. Everybody recognizes the individual liberty and individual sovereignty. There are the few out there that say, no, you must force me to do something. You know better. I can't do this for myself. Those are the advocates for the left. But most everybody in America are not advocates for the left. They're still a minority, and they've just been bamboozling way too many people. And on the other side of leadership are managers. And managers are those who are out to manage agendas. They're managing this initiatives with infanticide. They're managing initiatives to get gun control laws passed in your state or federal gun control. Those are all agendas. Leaders lead by actually supporting the Constitution, as I said last week. And so this is where we have to start looking, because there's only two parties in America. I've been working with this dolt in Virginia, and this person wants to run for the governor or what have you, but he wants to do it in creating his own party. And I'm here to tell you that that's been tried before, and every time it's been tried, it's been a failure. The only person that got away with creating a party and actually winning that I can remember was Madison with Jefferson. The next time that actually happened was Van Buren and Jackson in creating the Democratic Party. Now, most people think that Jefferson and Madison created the Democratic Party, but then if that was the case, why did Van Buren and Jackson come along and actually create the Democratic Party? If Madison and Jefferson actually created the Democrat, well, you can't have it both ways, folks. And the reality is, when Jefferson said we're all Republicans, he actually created the Republican Party. or Madison did, and he was a big part of that. He was the first president under the Republican Party moniker. So why is it that so many Republicans don't recognize this? But I've just digressed and I've went down this other tangent, so forgive me. But let me just get back to leadership and management. Bad managers tell you they're working for you, but they're really managing agendas. I'm tired of hearing politicians say, I'm working for you. We're going to be bringing home jobs. No, no, it's not your job. Your job is to support the Constitution and free us so that we can do the things we want to do that is best for us and our community. We don't want you to subsidize us so we become dependent on welfare. We want to be able to harvest our timber. We want to be able to harvest crops. Now, I'll tell you, there are organizations like farmers and so forth that are taking subsidies that have been a part of the problem. And what is that? That's unconstitutional. The government has no ability to be able to subsidize any industry. They have none. There's nothing in the Constitution that allows them to pay farmers subsidies. Farmers, you need to grow food. Grow food if you want to make money. If not, then sell the land so that other people can grow food and we can actually have a prosperous nation because people will be working. Leaders support the Constitution, period. And in supporting the Constitution, they are fighting for your liberties. Again, these core principles apply at all levels. Party leaders at the county as well as at the state must be supporting the Constitution. If they're supporting, you know, getting rid of the mandate of you having to have insurance for health care, that's an agenda. The constitutional position on that is the federal government has no authority to dictate anything regarding health care or any type of insurance, period. And so that's the approach you have to take. But instead, we want to repeal and replace. That is an agenda. If you start looking at everything that the Democrats and the Republicans are doing, almost everything that is about agendas. So what we have to do, because the conservatives happen to be on the Republican side, so what we have to do is we have to get the conservatives in the Republican ranks to start leading and giving up managing their agendas. And so as I talked about this, I kind of got into the review or where we are with Republic Review and reviewing the different states and so forth. I also told you we have, and I've said this many times, we have to put aside our differences and our self-interest. We must center our focus on the Constitution. And again, I talked last week about the importance of changing party bylaws, splitting the platform. I also talked about, you know, in the splitting of the platform, one platform's for the national level, the other one's for the state. That way, the state addresses the things that are within those delegated powers for the state. And the national level is literally just an assertion that you only have these powers. And these are the only things you should be doing. You shouldn't be doing any of these other things. Pretty simple. We also have to start using oaths and pledges. Oaths used to be great back in the days when somebody actually would raise their arm to the square and their honor depended on it, and they did their job, and they did exactly what they're supposed to do. But that doesn't cut it anymore. We have to get people to sign pledges, and they have to commit to saying, if I violate my oath, if I commit moral perjury and violate Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, then I should be banned for the rest of my life from public service. Now, nobody wants to do that. Would you walk into a job being an engineer, doctor, or what have you, say, if I violate the rules, you catch me violating the rules, I will resign. Well, nobody wants to do that, but that's what has to happen. And guess what? You get fired. And we have, and the party needs to be the one to actually fire people. We have to understand that those seats that those people are sitting in, they are owned by the party anyway. If you did not know this, when that person actually has to be replaced, the party gets to vote on who the primary candidates are, or they submit recommendations, and they have to choose out of those recommendations. So the party owns those seats anyway. So when we come back, we'll get into some of the other things we need to do to actually win, or so that we can become successful, and how we have to make these changes within the party. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year, so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic, as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
So friends, if you want to actually be a part of the change, you have to get involved in the party, and you have to be the voice of reason saying, we need to center on the Constitution. And people say, well, that's not in our bylaws. Well, then you change the bylaws. Bylaws can be changed. And that's what you have to work on. And then you have these honest conversations of what you need to do. Some of the things you need to do is obviously educate people about the Constitution and create a development program so that party members start understanding what they need to be working towards. And then you can start grooming people within the party or in the local area by teaching everybody about the Constitution. That way public servants actually start getting it. Or I should even say this, in creating this constitutional awareness, you can actually create a bench of good public servants to actually go and replace the rhinos and the bad players. We have to set, just like at the corporate level, if you got a job and you know they want you to make sure you're complying with the company strategic vision, and they want you to, you know, have these continuing education to honing your engineering skills or your nursing skills or whatever it is. That is what a corporation does. Why is it that the party's not doing that? They need to start setting strict expectations with public servants as well as with the members. You need to start learning about the Constitution. You don't know it? Then take the time. That is your duty and responsibility. You have to be able to do those things. Obtaining regular performance reports from public servants is a huge deal. In other words, you want these guys to report back to you and say every week what they have supported, what they're doing, and how they're championing every vote that they make. If they vote that is contrary to the Constitution, like accepting or voting for accepting unconstitutional, well, we need free money. No, we don't need free money. We need you to be fiscally responsible and adhering to the Constitution. The federal government has no constitutional authority to give us money. It's that easy. It's that easy, my friends. And so we need to start developing replacement for public servants. I've long lived for the day when we have people in our state legislatures that are rhinos, and we have a bench that you can actually send. And let's say it's the last week of the session. These guys are getting ready to wrap up and end it for the year and start campaigning and so forth. You send the guy that you're planning, or the gal that you're planning on running against this rhino in the next election. And what you do is you see the county, here's the county chair sending a note to that representative who's one of the representatives of the county. And inside this note is, this guy or gal is going to be replacing you. We're going to be supporting them in the next election. Now, see, here's the problem. That most of the parties have tied their hands to say they're not going to support. Well, there are ways to support without having to support. And what I mean by that is you vet. The party can vet candidates and actually score them and provide those scores, because this is not support. It is identifying who is the better candidate strictly by testing scores and so forth. And so, who would you vote for if there was a good quality vetting? It's like, who would you have operate on you? The guy that has all sorts of successful surgeries, or the guy that graduated top in his class? Or would you have the guy that, you know, was supported and, you know, he barely had a passing grade, but because his father contributed so much money, he just became a doctor. And so would you want that person to be giving you open heart surgery, or the top performer? And so bottom line, most people get it. They're going to vote for that top performer. And that's why you can change your bylaws and say, we will vet and we will demand vetting, and we're going to post your scores. It has nothing to do about supporting anybody. But if you want to score good with us, then you have to understand what you're doing, and that way we're actually testing you to validate that. You've heard me say many times, and Keith Borders was the one, I got to give him credit. Keith Borders is the guy that said, well, you know, if you can have a dog, but you have to have a license for it, you can have a cat and you have to have a license, and you want to do anything in the profession, you've got to have a license. They demand licenses for all these different things, or to be registered and so forth. Why is it that becoming a lawmaker and becoming a public servant, you don't have to be able to do anything? I mean, what the heck is that all about? So bottom line, we have to start developing replacements, and then you send that person in to say, hey, we want you to introduce this person to these people, and these people, because this guy's going to be replacing you. I mean, that is the shot across the bow. If this guy didn't already get it, or this gal, this person, this public servant who was serving and who was supposed to be sending you reports and was actually failing, and you keep on telling him, hey, look, you can't vote this way, like John McCain. And that's how you get rid of them, because you've told them and told them, and you now have somebody that you've prepared and developed to actually replace them. The party needs to support the push for Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which means that if you violate your oath of office, you do not support the Constitution, you vote against it, or you support people that are working against it, like let's say you want to be a sanctuary city and you want to vote and allow people in to, you know, that are violating the Constitution, that is giving aid and comfort to the enemy of the Constitution. And as far as I'm concerned, you need to be banned. This is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. You need to be banned from public service, removed from office, and banned for life. We need to actually have full education. We need to start developing education programs. And there are all sorts of organizations out there that offer this. This is what really peeves me about the John Birch Society. They have some pretty decent classes about the education on the Constitution, but they refuse to get involved with parties and other things. No, you got to be a member of their club, and then you can come. And what? Everything is centered, unfortunately, around the party. It would be great that we could start breaking away from that. But bottom line is, at the advent of the creation of this country, parties were formed, and we've been unable to break away from that. So we have to have this education on the Constitution, and that needs to be the foundation of this moving forward. And when I say the foundation, like the foundation of a home, and it also, this education also has to be the mortar or the bond, the nails to holding this structure up. We cannot build a house of cards. Well, you do this and you do this and we'll reward you. No, we're going to support the Constitution. And in essence, what we are doing is simply cleaning up the Republican brand and guarding it. It's that simple. This is critical to being successful in reclaiming the Republic. All successful corporations identify variances and they use analysis to adjust accordingly. The party can do the same thing, keeping focus on keeping the brand clean. And what I mean by clean is focused and adherence to the Constitution, and operate on the principal foundation, which is the Constitution's, both the state and the U.S. Constitution. Here's the best kept secret, and most people do not know this or understand this. We have enumerated constitutional republics, not general constitutional republics. In other words, we don't have this huge benefactor government that is going to do things and give us things and be noble and nice. One of the things I heard over the weekend is Ron Stewart, or whatever the guy's name is, Stewart, who's the comedian that wanted to poke everybody in the eye over the 9/11, you know, supporting these guys. Now, he made a good point that I'm going to concede with, that these people did respond because America was attacked. Even though it was in New York, America was attacked, just like Pearl Harbor. Instead of having these first responders have a fund, what they should do is deal with the exact same thing veterans deal with, and these people should be granted access to the Veterans Administration, which is unconstitutional, but it's the closest thing what they should be doing, and then moving, if the Veterans Administration should be under the Department of Defense. I mean, these are the guys that break our soldiers, Marines, sailors, and so forth. They're the ones that need to be the ones that have to carry the bill as well in keeping them alive and supporting all of their needs, because now that their contract has been fulfilled, you know, you got to let them go, but you got to support them as well. And I believe that all these first responders should have lifetime access into, just like the rest of us. See, but what Stewart's doing is he's giving them a golden parachute type of benefits, because, you know, as a Marine that's retired, and regardless of how they've been broken me because of my disabilities and so forth, at 65, I have to fall under Medicare and I don't get any extra benefits. Why would anybody that is supporting the country, whether you're a first responder, Marine, or anything, get something that's different? Does this make sense? Absolutely, it makes sense. And that's what Congress should be doing. Instead of funding billions of dollars out to these private agencies to cover these guys, no. We're going to cover them. We're going to put them into the Veterans Administration process until we move this under DOD. Once the states get together and hold our hands accountable for, you know, all these illegal bureaucracies, and we'll shut them down. But the fact is, as I was going back to what I wanted to talk about, we have enumerated constitutions which limit and define exactly what they're supposed to do. And that's it. That is the biggest kept secret. We do not have general governments. And so with that, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.